Welcome to Preaching and Preaching, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Jeff Dodge to the podcast. Jeff is a teaching pastor for Veritas Church in Iowa City and designer and director of the SALT Network School of Theology. He's also the author of Gospel 101, Learning, Living, and Sharing the Gospel. Jeff, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be with you.
Yeah, look, it's good to have you in the studio today, or actually on the phone today, recording this podcast. And today we're going to be talking about the pastor in college ministry. Now, before I get into that topic, and as we talk about the pastor in college ministry, I do want to brush up against in a few places your new book, Gospel 101, Learning, Living, and Sharing the Gospel. And so we'll touch on that, but I want the conversation primarily to be about college ministry. And I want to talk to you about college ministry because you know something about it. You have been central to college ministry and committed to college ministry now for several decades. So I guess for our listeners and just something of an orientation for them, tell us the broad contours of your ministry story, your work there in Iowa, especially with the SALT Network, and your heart for college ministry. Let us know your background.
Yeah, glad to. So I myself was at a university, the University of Northern Iowa, when I first even heard the gospel proclaimed. If I had heard it before, I guess I was still deaf to it, blind to it, whatever, raised in more of a culturally Christian home, but not a gospel-centered home. So, yeah, I got to the University of Northern Iowa. There, a guy living down the hall was bold enough to share the gospel with me. Actually came as a result of me trying to borrow his ID so I could go to the bars like all my friends were doing. But because of his boldness and courage in the faith, was able to share the gospel with me. And the first night that I ever heard a clear proclamation of the gospel, I gave my life to Christ and completely changed not just my eternal destiny, but my whole life orientation, and eventually decided that God would have me to serve him in vocational ministry, so have done that. But it just seemed that, not because I had this path well-lit right in front of me, it was just a day-by-day dependence on him, but he just kept weaving me back into the university context. Even when I was out in Los Angeles going to the master's seminary, God opened this door to do work at Cal State Northridge and do ministry there. And so it just seemed like at every hand, every time I turned around, God just kept nudging my feet back onto a path of the university. And so I'm pretty slow, but I picked up at some point, oh, maybe that's God's unique calling in my life. Maybe I need to listen to that. So I've given the better part of my life to serving Christ, but in and around the university context. And so that's really actually what birthed the book, Gospel 101, is a desire to help men and women on the university campus communicate the gospel with clarity, with conviction, with boldness, because that's how I came to know Jesus, was in that very context. And so it's a tool that I've been using to help just kind of grease the skids on people getting out there and sharing the gospel, not just with the boldness, but also with clarity. So
yeah,
that's my story.
So currently, and again, this is kind of a couple of questions woven together here. I know you've had something of a ministry transition in recent months, but for so many years you were essential to the SALT Network there. And so I guess, why don't you answer two questions in one? First of all, again, elaborating a touch more on your background and as it relates to the SALT Network, relates to college ministry. Also, letting us know currently what you're doing in ministry. And so what's going on with the SALT Network, but also let our listeners know about your new ministry outpost and what's taking place there. So be a touch autobiographical, both in the past and in the present. And also help us to understand, you know, really your primary college ministry focus over the years, where that's been.
Yeah. So Cornerstone Church in Ames, Iowa, served there for about 22 years. Was actually in Kansas City just before that, and then moved up to Ames to help with Cornerstone Church. I directed the SALT Company. So the SALT Company is the university ministry of Cornerstone Church there, and did that for several years, and then handed that off to a young man that I'd been discipling, and then became the teaching pastor at Cornerstone. The community side, the church as a whole, was growing exponentially, and so I moved over to serve in on the community side of that, and handed over the directorship of the Salt Company, and then stayed there. So again, stayed in Ames for about 22 years. We decided at a certain point that boy, God was by His grace teaching us some things about how to have a local church that had university students as a primary focus, situated near a large university, and with a driving passion to exist there in that community for the university, and then all the community people that God would draw in as well. So we first established Veritas Church in Iowa City, which is where I'm serving now. That was our first church plant. And then things began to pick up steam, and God just continued to bless. And so we've got a whole network of churches. We're up to about 15 churches now. And primarily what we're looking at is establishing those churches where major universities are. So a central campus, at least about 12 to 15,000 students right there on a central campus. And then the community that surrounds it. So we're continuing on and now heading to East Lansing and Indiana and different places. So yeah, God just continues to fan that. So the theological education that we're using to train up our church planters and our Salt Company directors is through Midwestern. And it's what used to be called Cornerstone School of Theology. We're now calling it the Salt Network School of Theology because it serves way beyond Cornerstone, and I'm continuing to direct those efforts where we offer men and women the opportunity to get their theological education while still serving in these vibrant churches and these university contexts to be able to either stay right where they're at or be sent out to that next one and that next one and the next one as we continue to pick up steam by God's grace. Yeah.
Man, thank you for updating us on that, Jeff. And again, it's a remarkable story. Yeah. I've seen it up close. I've preached there in Ames a number of times over the years, and so encouraging what God is doing there and beyond there in the broader region and throughout Iowa and the university scene. And you have been so integral to all of that. So press on, and Godspeed as you do. Now, your book, and again, we're intersecting kind of topics. You're talking about college ministry, but I do want to talk about your book a little bit because this was really birthed out of the context of a college ministry. Your book is Gospel 101, Learning, Living, and Sharing the Gospel. Tell us about that book, which, again, I'm looking at your book here in hand and am reminded that I endorsed it along with Russell Moore. So you got one good guy there and another guy and myself that I guess you couldn't find anyone else. But it really is a good little book here. Tell us about the book.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I discovered, even in my own life, is that as I began to grow in my knowledge of the Scriptures, unfortunately, every time I'd go to share the gospel, I would inevitably complicate the gospel by having this desire to kind of tell this person everything I knew about God, everything I was discovering about the Bible. And in so doing, I was just offering too much too fast, and really making the gospel too opaque, too unclear. And so I set out to say, okay, wait, now, if I could have the chance to help people clearly articulate the gospel, what is the gospel, Genesis to Revelation? What is the overall eternal gospel that the Bible is bringing to us, with the crescendo, of course, being Jesus Christ has worked for us? How could I do that? And so what I've done is, and I actually stumbled across this somewhat enigmatic verse in Revelation 14 where it talks about this angel flying over the mid-heavens, proclaiming the eternal gospel. But in that message, he says things like, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. And absent in there was Jesus Christ, come for us, crucified, buried, risen again. That part was missing. So that really got me something like, well, wait a minute, he says he's giving the eternal gospel, but where's the Jesus part? Well, wait a minute, he's talking about creation. Well, that drove me all the way back from Revelation, all the way back to Genesis. And so anyway, that's what it kind of kept stirring me is, wait, what is this constant thread of gospel that starts in Genesis, goes all the way to Revelation, and where is Jesus' role in that? And so part of my conviction in that is that offer people the solution, which is Jesus Christ, before we have ever introduced them to the fact that there is a creator God to whom they will give an account, a judge before whom they will stand. And so we're offering them a solution to a problem, and they haven't even embraced the problem yet. They haven't even embraced this basic understanding of God and their relationship with God before we start introducing them to Jesus. And so I try to back that train up and give them language to use. I actually, part of the whole study is to encourage them to get out and have just conversations with people about God. Do you believe in God? And that's all you have to ask. Do you believe in God? If so, explain God to me. And they just along the way, every lesson, they're going out and actually engaging people about spiritual things. And the goal of that part of the study is to realize, man, people are not averse to having conversations about spiritual matters, about the gospel itself. We, I think, have convinced ourselves that people are militantly opposed to us starting. They're just going to shrug us off or persecute us or something for sharing the gospel. And it's actually not really true. Most people will engage with us about spiritual things. So it's helping them both on the content of the gospel and also the courage to get out there and engage people with the gospel. That's what's driving every lesson of the book.
Hey, Jeff, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back having a conversation with my friend Jeff Dodge. We're talking about the pastor in college ministry. So, again, back to college ministry, and I appreciate you elucidating the theme of the book and the major topics you cover. Tell us about, I guess for you, what animates you about college ministry? And I want to be autobiographical at this juncture. For me, being a college student was an exhilarating season of life. I had a brief stint as a college minister, which was also exhilarating. To the first, I grew up in a Christian home in a Southern Baptist church. I heard the gospel preached with great frequency, had a faithful pastor who believed in the scriptures and preached the gospel, Sunday to Sunday. I was one of these obstinate kids. I wasn't particularly rebellious. I mean, I wasn't, doing drugs or engaging in what we might think of as scandalous activity, but I was just kind of there every week hearing the gospel preached, but kind of wanting to live in my own quiet way, my own little rebellious life. For me, that tended to look like me giving my energies and passions to sports, in particular basketball, and that became my life. That became kind of a lowercase g God for me. My freshman year in college, my doors got blown open. I became a believer in the fall of 1995, the fall of my freshman year in college. And so, I mean, I'm just seeing things I've never seen before. I'm hearing things, so to speak, spiritually speaking, I've never heard before. And I'm immersed in the scriptures. I'm still a college athlete, so that constricts how much discretionary time I have. But I'm still looking for Bible studies. I'm sharing my testimony in places as a college student. And then over kind of my sophomore, junior, senior years, became a part of like a gospel rat pack, a bunch of guys of us who we were preaching the gospel in prison ministries and teaching Sunday school and just every opportunity to speak of Christ, we were doing it. Kind of my junior year in college is when that call to ministry really began to crystallize and become something that I could not avoid. That led to me leaving the college basketball team and pursuing ministry full-time, not knowing that that's what I had before me, but God very quickly called me out of sports and into ministry. Steve Lawson, who many of our listeners know is a preacher, he was my pastor at that juncture, and he was very kind to give me oversight and mentorship in a ministry slot there at the church. And so, again, this is an exhilarating season for me. I'm a college student. I'm getting to preach. I'm getting to shepherd. And I'm just on fire for the Lord. Then at about, I guess I'm probably out of college a year or two at this juncture, The church, Dauphin Baptist Church, had a vacancy in the college ministry, so I found myself fresh out of college getting to lead the college ministry, which I was eminently qualified to do, to lead college ministry, because I was, for all practical purposes, still a college student. And I say that with tongue firmly planted in cheek. But I was there as a young guy getting to preach on Thursday nights to a college group, getting to teach in essential classes, and just had the time of my life. And there's was a pent-up curiosity, a pent-up interest, a pent-up passion that I saw in college students that I was able to tap into. And look, I love every season of the Christian life. I love every ministry stop God has given me. I love being at Midwestern Seminary, obviously. But I look back on that season, that was a sweet season. College students, they're out of the home, so their faith is becoming their own. There tends to be a curiosity. The life is before them. There's a passion there. There's an intrigue there. And those, for me, were such formative years. And for college students around the world, they also are formative years. So for me, that's how I think of college ministry. Help me understand how you think of it.
Yeah. Well, I think, honestly, you made a beautiful testimonial for why we're doing what we're doing. And because it's young men and women who have more of your story, raised in a believing home, a gospel-centered home, who are suddenly in that crossroads time of life where they're having to decide, who am I going to be? What vocation am I going to choose? What's the passion of my life going to be? And then you've got the people more with my story, people who have never encountered the gospel and who are in desperate need of hearing the eternal gospel. And so what we're seeing is, it's interesting, Dr. Allen, if you look at almost every major university around this country, you will find a central campus and encircled by large historic churches of virtually every denomination. The reason for that is because the church used to believe that they needed to set up their outposts right where the next generation of leaders were going to emerge from. They wanted to be right there. And the university had a beautiful relationship with the church. Most university presidents were clergy of some form or another. So there was this beautiful relationship between church and university campus when things like, I explore this a little bit in the dissertation that your kind colleagues may be writing there in Midwestern. But, there were all sorts of influences of liberalism coming over the church from Western Europe, Darwinianism. There are all sorts of things that all of a sudden, about midway through the 20th century, this hostility began to emerge between the church and the university. And the church became very suspect of the university, back and forth. And these churches are virtually empty. They're like museums. There's no passion for the gospel. There's no passion for that university student. And the evangelical church seemed to relegate all of their passion and for the gospel to parachurch organizations. And so you have, thankfully, groups like the Navigators and Campus Crusade, InterVarsity, et cetera, continuing to hold the gospel right there on those central campuses, but the church turned its back. What we're trying to say through our network and many other networks of churches is, boy, it's time for the church to realize how vital that university campus is, and especially churches who already find themselves in a community with a university just down the street, have a passion to make the gospel white hot and attractive and intersect all those young men and women's lives with the gospel, with discipleship, with leadership training, for men like you and men like me, who their entire life, their trajectory of their life will be altered because of what the church did in that important time. And let it be the church. Let it be an ecclesiologically strong ministry going on, and not just delegate that to the parachurch, that then often fosters a university kind of experience spiritually, but doesn't offer those students a continued experience within the local church once they graduate. And so we're just begging churches and university communities to restoke their fire and commitment to the university campus.
Very good. Jeff, our time is flying by here, and I regret that. There's a part of me, we could talk all afternoon about this, but I want to maybe just touch on one or two more issues here before we wrap up the conversation. I guess I'd ask the question this way, and I have an answer that comes immediately to mind, but I want our hearers to hear from you, my guests, not only from me. And that would be this. What are some of the heartaches associated with college ministry?
One of the reasons I think that the church is still reticent to come to the university campus is because, it is a hotbed of activism, right? So when it comes to issues of gender, when it comes to political issues, many of the movements and much of the activism that goes on in our culture is represented at these university campuses. And so a lot of Christians, a lot of local churches are afraid of that seemingly very hostile environment of the local church. And it's true, right? I mean, I just did at our SALT company here at the University of Iowa, we just had a Q&A, open Q&A. Several hundred students showed up for this. And I was on a small panel of people that could ask anything they wanted about Christianity, about the Bible. And there's a healthy skepticism going on about evangelicals, about the Bible, et cetera. And so you have to be prepared, right, to be on the front lines and to be among those who are even agitators against the gospel. And so that can be the heartache, you know, is watching men and women who begin to follow Christ, begin to explore their scriptures, and then find themselves in a classroom where a professor just, you know, seeks to destroy the credibility of the Bible, or maybe it's peers, fellow students that begin to say, you can't be part of that cult, or do you know what they say about women, or do you know what they say about transgenders? And suddenly you become the enemy, right, instead of the friend. And so it is. I can't pull any punches. It's a very, can be a very difficult place. But I'm also saying, the gospel is powerful, right? I mean, I love that even Spurgeon quote. You know, we don't have to worry about defending the Bible. The Bible's like a lion. Let it out of its cage. It defends itself. You know, just get the word out there. Just get the word out. And so we just proclaim the scriptures, proclaim the gospel, and to be able to see lives transformed, men and women giving their lives to Christ, reorienting their lives. There's nothing more rewarding, more exhilarating than being on these front lines and watching God do the impossible in transforming these lives. But I can't lie to you. It can be an intimidating place to open the doors for the local church and seeing, unfortunately, some people get pulled back into secularism and unbelief. And it can be a harrowing place to do ministry for sure.
All right, Jeff, we are effectively out of time, but I just can't end the conversation without you responding briefly to one final question. Listening to this podcast are many who are college ministers, many who may be college ministers. The demographics for this podcast tend to be pastors, ministers, seminary students, so those involved in local church service. What would be just a concluding word of advice that you would give for pastors, for ministers, as it relates to college ministry?
Yeah. Thank you. I would say if I'm out there talking to somebody who is representing a parachurch organization, I want to one say thank you for holding the gospel forth, wherever that is, and through whatever organization. Thank you for being clear on the gospel in university context. But I want to appeal to them to anchor their ministry in the context of a local church. It is vital. We cannot read through our New Testaments without finding that the imperative of the gospel being housed in the local church, where the multi-generational impact of the church can have its full glory and weight on the lives of these young men and women, welcomed into the household of the family of God, the local church. And then I want to say maybe to those who are college ministers in local churches, but perhaps that church has not caught fire onto the vital importance of that university campus. It might be relegated as to one little department. You know, they're happy to have the college students come in, but aren't going to put a lot of emphasis there because they don't pay the bills, right? There's a lot of them, and they don't pay the bills very well. And I want to say, oh, please do whatever you can to expose your senior leadership to the glories of what the gospel can do in those university communities. And let's have those local churches stationed near university campuses pick up that great stewardship that they have received and make known at that university. And I'm telling you, in doing so, the community people will come alive. People that live in university communities live there because they love the university. And when they see a local church drawing a university student, that draws them as well. And suddenly you've got a beautiful multi-generational church growing right there in the shadow of that great university. So hold on to that passion and hold forth the word of light there.
Jeff, we'll leave it at that. Brother, thank you for your ministry, and consider you a friend and indeed a colleague, and that you teach for us here often on campus. And may Godspeed to you and the ministry he's entrusted to you there in Iowa and beyond. Thank you for joining me on Preaching to Preachers.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Allen. I just want to say real quick, too, thank you for believing in what we're doing up here and allowing us to extend theological education to all these worthy men and women. I've even got men and women in East Asia that I'm about to jump on a plane and go teach them theology through your institution. And so I'm just saying your role is no small role in what we are trying to do and equip these men and women to go to these campuses. So thanks for your incredible, vibrant support of what we're doing. So thanks for your role. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.